Good day, my name is Michelle. Welcome to Nova's Business Report. And on the Market Watch with me today, I'm talking to Robert McGregor from Ceres. Robert, thank you very much. Today, we've actually got a mouthful to talk about on the commodity space. So tell us about, let's start off firstly with diamonds. I think, tell us about the latest news in terms of government's interest to buy a stake in Namdeb. And then let's just talk about diamonds in general before we move on to the other commodities.
Yeah, thanks, Michelle. So I'm sure a lot of people have seen the news. We obviously are very familiar with Namdeb, where government has a sort of that 50-50 joint venture with De Beers. But Anglo has indicated its intention to exit De Beers as sort of the global diamond giant. And there's been this plan or this idea that regional governments should take over some of that interest or entirely buy out De Beers from that, given that Botswana already has some direct interest in De Beers. Now, the diamond industry, as many people know, has come under significant pressure over the last sort of 2 or 3 years. And, you know, 2021, 2022 diamond prices did quite well. Those have dropped quite substantially due to a variety of reasons. People not spending as much, maybe not getting married as much. But also there's been sort of this trouble from the lab-grown diamonds or manufactured diamonds, which has offset a lot of pressure there.
So if I may ask, as you said, it's twofold. So one is the lab-grown diamonds. And secondly, is there also a supply side issue in Namibia, maybe specifically, you know, more towards the marine diamonds? But I mean, that is doing well.
Yes. So the supply side issues in diamond mining tends to be more in order to sort of reduce output when prices drop in order to try and restrict supply, and then you see higher prices. But I mean, we've definitely seen that the competition from these much cheaper to produce manufactured diamonds has definitely brought market prices down. It's not exactly the same across all of the stones, though. So what we do see is that the Namibian type of stones hold up generally well. They're very high quality, very good stones. And so your very wealthy people that like these types of stones are still happy to pay a bit of a premium because it's natural as opposed to being manufactured in a lab.
So is this a good deal on the table for government?
Personally, I don't think so. I think there's obviously a big cost attached to it, between 10 and 15 billion Namibia dollars. It's money we simply don't have. And if we had it, I think that we've got far more important priorities in the short to medium term and even in the long term. But over and above that, you risk exposing yourself even more to a single commodity. I mean, diamonds have played a big role in the economy. Diamond mining alone is around 6% of GDP. It's a big contributor to government's tax historically, not so much now when the prices are low. And I think it's very risky to try and expose yourself even more to one commodity.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's park diamonds and diversify. And seeing that we have got, you know, gold in Namibia is quite strong. Tell us about the largest or the new largest taxpayer.
Yeah, so with Namdeb obviously coming under some pressure, B2Gold seems to have moved into that top spot from a tax perspective. I mean, gold prices have hit all-time highs in recent months, still trading over $4,000 an ounce. If you convert that into rands, they're making quite a lot of money. And so that's been quite beneficial. We've seen B2Gold also with its intention to extend its life of mine, moving up again underground with this new Antelope deposit, very encouraging. Navahab intending to move underground, extending sort of the operations by or up until around the early 2040s, if I'm not mistaken, if that goes ahead and works out well. We've got another gold mine under construction at the moment in the form of the Twin Hills mine just outside of Kharibab. And then we've got some very exciting exploration projects happening elsewhere in the country. So Namibia seems to be sort of a new gold province. We're a very small producer globally, but for the size of our economy, it's actually quite important and quite a big contributor.
Yeah. Before we step off gold, just quickly on the price of gold and what's happened this year to the price of gold and various central banks across the world storing up on gold reserves. Tell us about if you have got any, you know, indication of what you think will happen with the price. I mean, I think currently it's above 4,000 again.
Yeah, so it's trading this morning just over $4,000 an ounce. There's a variety of factors. I mean, gold is sort of seen as that global safe haven asset. If you're worried about what's going on in the US, you know, weaker growth or high inflation, people tend to pile into gold. And I think sort of we've seen US dollar weakness in recent months. If you look at the dollar index, it's trading below 100 quite often. So that means that it's weaker than it historically has been. And in addition to that, I think there's concerns around sort of economic growth in the US as well as in China. And that is driving people into a lot of safe haven commodities such as gold. We've seen a lot of central banks, especially after the inflation scares over the last few years, have also resorted to increasing their exposure to gold, sort of as a big asset for them, for their reserves. And I think also with concerns around inflation and US dollar weakness, it's driven that up even more. So, I mean, you know, the gold price not that long ago sitting a little over $2,000 an ounce, and now over $4,000 fuel. If you've got a gold mine, it's doing very well at this stage.
Any outlook on the gold price, or is that too difficult?
It's uncertain at this stage. It looks like it's settling at around the $4,000 level. So the best thing for us is to produce as much while we can while the prices are in our favor.
Exactly. Okay, briefly onto uranium and copper.
Yeah, so uranium has also done quite well. We've seen globally that there's been a renewed vigor behind nuclear energy. I think many people are starting to realize that if you want long-term, affordable, low carbon emission energy, you know, baseload energy, it's reliable, it has relatively little impact on the environment, it takes up very little space. Nuclear is the way to go, and that's seen a big uptick in demand for uranium because the new power plants coming online need to start securing that uranium for their production over the long term. You know, 10 years ago, uranium prices were trading under $20 a pound, they're now trading around 80 on the spot market. So very, very good for us. We've seen it result in higher output by our existing mines, but we've also seen a host of the exploration and development projects, the likes of the Deep Yellows, as well as Bannerman, looking more seriously at getting their mines up and running in the next 2 years. That's very good developments for us, and especially for the coastal region. And what we've seen is where the diamond prices have come down, it's obviously impacted government's revenues. It's reduced our export earnings. As a result of that, we've seen that thanks to gold and uranium exports picking up and the prices picking up so much that they've more than offset the losses we see from diamonds. But from the fiscal perspective, it's slightly less helpful because the tax regimes are slightly different. There's assessed losses and similar, but still quite good. And copper prices have done quite well. I think, you know, people realize the more we electrify things, the more copper we need. There's a limited amount of that available. And while we don't have much in the way of copper production at the moment, there is a lot of very exciting exploration happening, whether it's in the Kumbat region or the south or elsewhere. So definitely keeping a close eye on that as well.
Yeah, so it seems like good news in the pipeline. And I must say also the announcement by S&P on the South African government really gave us all something to celebrate, maybe. Maybe a last comment on that, if you can.
Yeah, so I think it's South Africa's first upgrade, if I'm not mistaken, in something like 20 years. Obviously, very encouraging for them. And to some extent, our sort of fiscal metrics and our bond prices piggyback off of South Africa a little bit. It's also obviously very good for the rand. So it does benefit us to some extent from that perspective. And I think we've seen very much that while our fiscal position has been deteriorating, not helped by, for instance, lower diamond prices, what we are seeing is that the sort of very positive global views on South Africa have seen their bonds rally, and our government benefits because it means that despite things looking a bit worse here, they can still sort of issue debt much cheaper than otherwise would have been the case. And as a taxpayer, I don't think we should complain too much about that.
Exactly. Okay. So generally good news. And that's what we send our listeners into this new week with. Thank you very much, Robert, for being my guest. Until the next time.
As always, it's been a pleasure.